Now the epistle for the third Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, the fourth chapter. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the first chapter. At that time, the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said therefore unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou be not Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there hath stood one in the midst of you whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethania beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Recently, I was reading some excellent pages in a spiritual book for Advent and how to have, in the practical order, how to have a good Advent. I would like to share with you some of these sentiments. The priest began by pointing out that every day, many people greet one another with the same salutation, "Good morning." He went on to say, what better way to live than to greet the new day with hope? Even if the phrase has become second nature, or you just say it without thinking, it is a good phrase with a good meaning behind it. It welcomes the new day with a smile of hope. It is good for every man that he cultivate within himself the habit of saying good morning to those he meets as he starts this day, and saying it as though he had faith and hope that this day might be good. Yesterday may have been a hard one, yes, but yesterday is certainly as past as was the year 1492. Today is here, and its character has not yet been determined. Its qualities, in some respects, will not be up to us. There will be sunshine or shower according to what is beyond our control. But these things are not what determines the real character of the day. The real character of the day depends on our response to what happens. So don't think about it if you started this day with a headache or a backache, for your head will only ache the harder every time you think or talk about it. Today, you might come across many people, and every single one of them will have their day brightened or darkened by the tone and manner of your greeting. you can put a little more joy into your heart and in the heart of everyone you meet just by a cheerful tone and a happy, content good morning. Yesterday may have been a disappointment, but this is today. Face your duty and your trials with courage and good cheer. As an analogy, there was once a young fellow who found a silver dollar on the ground as he was walking on the street. And from that time on, he never raised his eyes from the ground when he walked. He was looking for more silver dollars. He was always looking down and was stooped over. In the next 30 years, he accumulated some change, thousands of buttons, a hunchback, a miserly character, and a very rotten, gloomy disposition. But he lost the beauty and the glory of the sunshine, the smiles of friends around him, the magnificence of blue skies, if it's not Pennsylvania weather, and in everything glorious in God's creation. So keep your head up and your eyes towards the heavens. My dear faithful, this same optimism and joy is what St. Paul encouraged the Christians to have in today's epistle. He exhorted them, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice." He was telling the faithful to rejoice no matter what. And in the whole epistle to the Philippians, St. Paul urges them to have this joy no less than 10 times. One priest explains that St. Paul is teaching that the fundamental mark of Christianity is joy. If we receive good things, rejoice that God has given us a little extra joy and some of his mercy. If we receive crosses or bad things, rejoice that God has given us an opportunity to grow in virtue, allowed us a chance to be more like him, carrying his large wooden cross, and given us an opportunity to show our love for him by spirit of sacrifice. What is interesting to note is that St. Paul wrote this epistle to the Philippians, telling them to be joyful no matter what. He wrote this while he was in prison. He was locked in a dungeon, and he was saying we should be happy at every moment throughout our lives. But this cheerfulness is ludicrous to worldly people, those who live only for this world. For those who do not know God or love him, it is a stumbling block because they have no hope that God will bring good from life's difficulties. So they see no reason to be cheerful about it. Whereas Catholics, knowing that all things, as Scripture says, all things work unto good for those who love God, Catholics ought to have optimism, even with sacrifices and crosses. We must remember, as St. Paul says in another epistle, that God loveth the cheerful giver. Just say, for instance, for yourself, that if you were to ask someone to do you a favor, and he complies, but he does so begrudgingly with a huff and a puff and with the attitude of, you owe me. We often wish that we hadn't asked him for that favor at all. But how much easier it is to ask if the person is cheerful and is cheerful to comply with your favor of what you ask. So too, God loves when we are cheerful givers and do what he wants, follows his commandments, and accepts the sacrifices and crosses which he sent to us to make us become holy, if we accept those with cheerfulness and joy. This cheerfulness also makes life easier for ourselves. For it is always easier to handle difficulties when we embrace them. You may know that Bishop Kelly was in the Air Force, and he has told the priests, seminarians, and brothers many stories about his training and his experiences in the Air Force. And one of those is that the soldiers, for example, had to carry heavy packs on long runs on the campus. And those who loosened and slackened the straps of their backpacks, making it fall lower on their back, thinking it would be easier, soon found that it became much more difficult to carry those packs. But those who strapped their pack more tightly and took on the weight right onto themselves as if there were no burden, carried those packs more easily. Cheerfulness gives the good example of Catholic optimism and of confidence in the love and the mercy of the Sacred Heart. And St. Lawrence, the martyr of Rome, is an excellent example of this. In 257, the Emperor Valerian published a bloody edict against the Church. Sixtus II was the Pope at the time, and he was the one who actually ordained St. Lawrence as a deacon of the Roman Church. Eventually, as a Christian, Lawrence was sentenced to death. When the time of his execution came, the prefect said, "I can see that you are not afraid of death, but you shall not have a quick death as you imagine and as you wish for. I will protract your tortures, that your death may be the more bitter as it shall be slower. You shall die at my hands, inch by inch." Then the prefect commanded a great gridiron to be made ready, and live coals, almost extinguished, to be thrown under that grid. Lawrence was then extended and bound with chains upon this iron bed over a slow fire. The coals were lit, but then they were half put out, so that it would be a slow roast on Lawrence's skin. And this slow fire would broil his flesh slowly. But such was the tranquility and cheerfulness of this saint that he even made light of his sufferings. He smiled and joked with the executors, saying, "I think I'm almost done on this side. I think you can probably turn me over to get the other side too." And so, after this long and horrible torture, St. Lawrence finally prayed that he might accomplish his martyrdom and be reunited with our Lord in heaven. And his prayer, of course, was answered, and the soul of this joyful saint made its way to heaven. St. Lawrence was able to be cheerful in such great sufferings because he had rejoiced in lesser trials. And that is why St. Paul, too, was able to rejoice while he was imprisoned. And during this Advent and Christmas season, let us have that cheerfulness which St. Paul urges. Let us build up the habit of welcoming the good and the bad with optimism and cheer. First thing in the morning, say, even to yourself if you have to practice, say, "Good morning," in the most cheerful tone possible. And as your day goes on, say good morning even to crosses. Say, "Thank you, Lord, for letting this happen and giving me this opportunity to become a saint." If embracing a cross seems impossible, which it might, then start small. What you can do is make a resolve with one cross today. For instance, "I will not complain about the cold, the snow that made my traffic getting here an hour long, or the ice on the steps, You can say, thank you, Lord, for this. I'll just have to take my time and be patient. And say, good morning, I'm here for you, O Lord. And even if you forget, perhaps, to be cheerful, and realized only afterwards, then say it afterwards too, good morning, and Lord, help me to be more patient next time. And then resolve afresh every day to be cheerful about one difficulty in your life. You know, my dear faithful, we can't choose whether today will be sunny or rainy. But if it rains, we can make it a day of gloom and doom, or we can sing in the rain. We can mutter or gripe about the snow or whatever might bother us, or we can look around with wonder and enjoy the beauty of God's creation and the design of divine providence. Have optimism and cheer, for as one writer says, joy is the most infallible sign of the presence of God. So let us strive always to have that infallible sign. Good morning. Thank you, Lord, for this cross, as we prepare for the coming of our Lord on Christmas. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.